hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives that for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, and 720 WGN.
And welcome to Wednesday afternoon, everyone, and gridlock. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. If you're already stuck in traffic, I'm sorry about that. Terry Savage is on a phone line. She, of course, is the personal finance expert. You can read more from her at terrysavage.com. And I think if I read my emails correctly, Terry has already done her commuting for the holidays. Is that correct, Terry?
I did. I've been traveling a lot these past few days, but happy to be with you and not stuck in a car. But if you are, let's talk about the markets and what you should be doing, if anything, after, you know, we've lost all the gains from 2018.
Right, so we're in negative territory. We're up today, so we're up 182 on the Dow, 112 on the NASDAQ. But basically, right, flat for the year.
However.
Well, yeah, give me the however.
For the past decade, up for the decade.
Well, yeah, we're up for my lifetime, too, which is good.
Yes, for sure, for all of our lifetimes. It's just a question, is it worth the angst in between to be thinking about it every 200 or 300 or 500 points up or down?
You tell me.
It's only worth it if it's going to change your life. And by that, I mean, if you're at a stage where you can't be putting money in anymore because you're retired or about to retire, and you won't be able to take advantage of lower prices by buying more stuff. And even worse, you're going to be needing to sell something in order to take those required minimum distributions or just to live on. That's when it gets scary. Everybody else, believe in America over the long run. You'll come out ahead.
You say when you're ready to retire. I mean, are we talking about a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? What are you talking about there?
I'm thinking about 4 or 5 years before retirement. And I must say that there's a lot of smart money that disagrees with me. If you have those target date retirement funds, they're still 60-70% in cash when you're 5 years from your target retirement date, most of them. But I think this is not so much an intellectual or a mathematical question. It's an emotional one. And the question is, what is the potential profit worth to you in terms of your lifestyle versus the emotional toll of going, but wait, I was going to retire next year or the year after or in 2 years. And maybe this changes our plans. Maybe we can't, you know, buy the house or sell the house, or we might have to do something that we don't want to do.
I mean, if you look at it for the past 5 years, 6 years, we're so far ahead of the game, right? I mean, so...
Exactly. And everybody believes. I'm very cautious. You all know that. You know that term chicken money. That came to mind these last couple of days with the market dropping significantly. Chicken money is the money that you set aside that lets you sleep at night. And if you know I have 3 or 4 or 5 years of chicken money set aside, then probably it's not so significant that you still have a lot invested in the market. Because, you're retiring, you have 20, 25 years ahead of you.
But, Terry, a lot of people don't have 3 or 4 or 5 years of chicken money set aside. Right? I mean,
well, that's
a pretty
the point.
Big
you yeah. have. So what people mostly have is a big surprise. These 401k accounts, you know, I remember when, I've been around a while, 401ks came into being. When corporations stopped saying, stick with us for 30 years and you'll get a gold watch and a check a month for life. And they switched over to, you can invest pretty much as much as you want, maybe we'll even match you in a 401k plan. It took people a while to catch on to that. But anybody who's been doing that for the last 15 or 20 years took a look around, anyway, at least before last weekend, and said, well, this is more money than I ever thought I had. And that's why, and 401k plans don't have a lot of chicken money places to hide because they're designed for growth. And that's why I always say build some money up outside your retirement plan so you can adjust the investments inside your 401k to be more conservative, and you have cash so you're not forced to sell at a low point.
I remember talking years ago about the fact that there would be one day a 401k reckoning, because when the pension went away, you're going to depend on people to invest themselves. And if they're not, if they don't have the discipline to do that, or if they don't have the ability to do that, they're going to start retiring with almost nothing there.
Now you could retire with a lot there. You know, human nature is almost always wrong about the stock market. And so for years, the last 7 or 8 years, people have been going, oh, no, it's scary. I better get out. All the way up. The old saying, the market climbs a wall of worry. Now we have everyone saying, I'm not going to worry about 500 or 600 points down. I'm not going to worry about this year's gains wiped out because the market always goes up. I don't think too many people who are in the position of being near retirement understand the possibility. I'll tell you something. In 1973, the Dow, which had hit 1,000, which was an incredible thing, fell within 18 months to a low of 570.01. And that's in 1973. By 1982, the Dow was still under 800. Okay, so we had a long decade of nothing much happening in the market. You got the dividend yield. You may have made some money, but not a lot.
Okay.
And what people don't remember and aren't prepared for is not only can the market go down, it could stay down for a while. And those are the eventualities you have to think about in retirement withdrawals, which is why, you know, you've heard the term Monte Carlo modeling.
Yeah.
And the big companies like Fidelity, Vanguard, T. Rowe Price are experts at giving you not averages, but the range of probabilities so you can set an investment portfolio, a conservative one, and a withdrawal strategy to give you the best chance of making your money last as long as you do.
Okay, but I was getting at something else, though, with the 401k and the traditional pension. The pensions are very rare now. Has there been a big look at is the typical American worker better off now? I don't know how you would judge it because every person investor is on his own.
I don't know how because look around Chicago. Everybody went, oh, great, I work for the city, I have a pension, or I'm a fireman, I'm a policeman, I'm a municipal worker, I'm a teacher, I can relax, I have a pension. And look at the precarious nature of all the pension, almost all of the pension funds, the municipal and public pension funds in Illinois. I frankly would rather have had my money in my 401k where I could make some hopefully conservative decisions as I got closer to retirement than to be sitting there knowing that the city of Chicago's pension funds are literally going to run out of money in 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah,
absent some huge property tax increase or some creative financing.
All right, so there's that. So we're watching Wall Street, and now we're heading into a time of year, right, when there's not a lot happening. I mean, we might see some volatility, but there's not a lot of volume going on. Or tell me about December.
Well, everybody leaves today. I mean, all the professionals, all the traders, the top ones on Wall Street and everywhere else, market closes early. They're pretty much gone already. And tomorrow, of course, the market's closed, and Friday, there have been some bumpy Fridays, but I don't think you're going to get any kind of collapse. Now here's what happens in December. Every public mutual fund, all the hedge funds, have to know that at the end of the year, they're going to get, all the measuring tools. How did you do versus the Standard & Poor's 500, your peer group and your benchmarks and so forth? A lot of them are going to rush to at least lock in the gains if they have. They surely have some stocks that have gains. Although, by the way, yesterday, new lows outnumbered new highs, 4-1. There's been more volume on the downside for sure. So I think a lot of the professionals are going to either, number one, sell their winners to lock in the gains, make them look good at the end of the year, and some of the even good stocks, which are not ones you'd really want to sell, will get sold just because that's where the profits remain. And then some of the bad stocks are going to get a hit again because they don't want to show that they're, at the end of the year, long the stocks that have really taken a beating already.
So you're saying the money, you're saying that the managers of the funds are going to sell stocks that might be good for me long term, but they're going to sell them short term so that they could show they had a positive return for the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're not worried about the...
That's not one of my favorite
things. Some of the tax rules.
Yeah.
This is, I'm saying the market, this is not manipulation. This is just the facts of life. They know that as of December 31st, especially in the case of a mutual fund, they'll show their position, they'll show their net gain or loss, and what those portfolio managers get paid on is their performance. So they are now adjusting their portfolios in December, which is why, you know, you and I have talked about this. I talked about, you know, getting ahead of the Christmas rush very early and thinking about what you wanted your portfolio to look like before they're running around doing things that may seem irrational. Now, look, if you're in an index fund, you know, you just hang in there. Nobody's adjusting an index fund. But the professional money managers get measured at the end of the year.
That's Terry.
And you can be sure they're all thinking about it.
Sorry, Terry, we need to take a break. We're going to come back, and I want to talk to Terry about, she's got a column up about charities at this time of year. And part of that is I started looking at my taxes last night, and I have a question about that as well. It's 12:21. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Terry, I got a lot of things I want to talk to you about. One is a story breaking, but CNBC picked one up about a half an hour ago saying that Gap is looking to close hundreds of its stores, and they say the CEO says he's going to do it, quote, quickly and aggressively. Apparently, the other brands, Old Navy, Banana Republic, they're doing okay, but the actual Gap stores have been lagging, and they might be leaving a mall near us very soon.
Yeah, that's bad news for mall real estate investment trusts.
Wow, I guess so, yeah.
The way we organize our shopping lives has changed, and you know we grew up with the Gap as a staple of what's current and what's new, but there are a lot of other fast fashion ways to buy clothes online.
Sing it, Terry. I want you to sing it with me. Let's go. Fall into the Gap. You ready? One, two, three.
Oh, no, I don't ever sing. Okay. The Gap is falling into the red.
Okay, there's that story.
And that's not a stock to hold.
Last night I was looking at, I'm a big fan of TurboTax, and, you know, I've got my own small business, so I have different things I look at. Mm-hmm. And so I was starting to look ahead toward the tax season and where I was this year and how I fit into the new rates and all of that stuff. And the more I look, the more it's almost impossible for me, if I'm on the cusp of one rate or another, there's almost nothing, I can't really officially determine if I'm going to decide, like, whether to invest in something or give a big charitable gift or things like that. I almost can't zero in on it until I get all my documents, right? I'm almost paralyzed at the end of the year.
Well, here's the thing. Your standard deduction is up. You file jointly, so there's $24,000. So a lot of people used to make, let's talk about charitable contributions. You had a small standard deduction, but you could deduct charitable contributions. And there's a thought, of course, that motivated a lot of giving. I think, and my new column says it, that really Americans are just really the most charitable people on earth. And I'm going to bet, although many charities are really concerned, that people will continue to give. If you gave to the United Way, if you gave to whatever charity it was that really made your heart sing in the holidays or by the end of the year, won't just be forgetting a tax deduction, because this year you have such a big standard deduction that the tax deduction isn't really going to help you. And the other thing, that's one thing. The other big shock for people, if you pay high real estate taxes and you pay state income taxes, that was always a big deduction on your federal tax return.
Right.
This year you get $10,000. Now, you know, we're talking to people who are listening to this show because they're investors, they're interested in their money, and because we live in both a high real estate tax state and in city and surrounding areas, and because we live in a state with an income tax, we are the big losers in the game.
A lot of us, you know, this is where
state and local
a lot of us paid our property taxes ahead, so we'll have to remember that when it comes to next year as well.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk charity then. But back just succinctly then, but in a way, I'm going into the end of the year blind. I mean, I can get as close of an estimate as I can, but I'm not going to have all my numbers until it's too late, right? Once I start getting all my numbers in February, it's too late to make any changes.
The last thing you can do that you'll be able to do in spring is make if you qualify, a deductible IRA contribution, if that's the way you want to go. But pretty much it's that way every year. And my point of my latest column is, so don't worry about whether it's going to be deductible. You felt good making that contribution last year, whatever your favorite charity is. Make it again this year, because all those charitable organizations are counting on, you know, probably level, or because it was up until a minute ago, you know, a good stock market year and many people more have jobs, a more prosperous year for many people. Every single charity is hoping people won't say, I don't even know if I can deduct it, I won't give. No, don't do that. That's not us. That's not the American way of life.
Have you seen any numbers? How are charities doing this year when compared to other years?
I haven't seen any numbers, and I don't think anyone wants to publicize it. Most charitable contributions will come in between now, Thanksgiving, and at the very last minute at the end of the year, when traditionally people have said, well, I'm looking at my numbers, and I better get more tax deductions. So everybody in the charity world, and I talk to people who run organizations, I sit on some charitable boards, everybody's just holding their breath thinking, please, folks, don't do this for the tax deduction. Do this for your conscience.
It's also the sort of thing that might not kick in until next year, right? People would donate the way they always do, and then when they're filing their taxes in the spring, they might realize.
Please, though, in a year when the market's done well and job numbers are good, You charities know that they can try and plan their budget for the next year. Right. I did point out in this column that a lot of people, well-meaning people, give to charities that don't really use the money very well. And I just want to point out before we go off the air, CharityNavigator.org is the largest database, nearly 10,000 charities, and they rate these charities on their financial health, their accountability, their transparency. You get a score and a star rating. And, in fact, they actually give out donor advisories when they think the organization is really not using its money wisely or is even potentially a scam. So they look at all the things, the marketing services that they buy and the CEO pay.
All right, that's at TerrySavage.com. Are you cooking tomorrow?
I have a 25-pound turkey that is defrosting and will get seasoned tonight, and I have 14 people.
Nice.
Being at my house this weekend, the whole family is coming
to me. What's your signature dish?
Terry Savage's apple pie. I mean, I make my own apple pie from scratch. I've got two of them made already.
Well, have a great day and have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Terry. Thanks for joining us today.
I'll be thankful. Steve, I'm thankful for the time I spend with you, for our audience that consistently writes in and posts questions at TerrySavage.com. This has been a year of relative peace for America and relative prosperity, and I wrote this column about charitable giving because I hope I'll do my part to encourage everybody to be grateful and express it.
Happy Thanksgiving, Terry. Thanks very much, Eric Rung, Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. On the phone line now, Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business. Can you throw a spiral, Frank? I'm a little concerned now about the game against the Lions.
I'm ready to suit up, but I think, you know, they'd want me to stand and just be like a human blob blocking somebody. I don't think I don't have the scrambling power in the pocket.
You don't have the scramble anymore? I was joking earlier that we were going to call you live as you were camped out outside of Best Buy in Lincoln Park. Are you a big Black Friday shopper?
I am not a big Black Friday shopper. In fact, the only pop-up I'm looking forward to is the Dude's Abode, the Big Lebowski bar that's opening at the end of the month.
Cranes wrote about some pop-ups, right? That's kind of the thing. In fact, it's been a theme of the year where these stores or outlets with an online-only presence have started popping up from place to place or opening up bricks-and-mortar stores. And Cranes actually did a bit of a pop-ups you should know coming up for the holidays.
Yeah, there's a little roundup, which is kind of cool. And the big one that's been open for a little while in Bucktown since mid-October is the Google Hardware Store. It's a pop-up selling Pixel smartphones, Google Home, smart speakers, and other products. That was the first pop-up that Google has done, so that was cool for Chicago, I guess. But other ones that are coming up, squishable pop-up shops. It's a plush that can be, it's a plush product that can be a stuffed animal or a pillow. I know you and I must have a full collection because when I saw this, I was like, what the heck is that?
Is it squishable?
It's called a squishable.
So is there like... I've been called squishable.
I don't know, man.
Come on, you guys wrote about it. So is it like, does it come in one shape? Are there squishable characters?
No, there's different animal types, form animals, mythological creatures, and food.
Mythological creatures.
So I want like a squishable pumpkin pie.
It is after you eat it. You just go up to the person and poke people in the belly.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not going to make it to that pop-up, I don't think. Give me another one.
Yearbook Studios Company, which used to have a brick-and-mortar retail shop for 6 years before it closed in 2017, is coming back November 30th and December 1st.
What do they sell?
Design Studio in suburban Forest Park. They sell candles, ornaments, maple syrup, that kind of stuff. It's a very holiday, folksy kind of thing.
There's another one I'm going to miss. You'll go to this... I like the idea, Frank. I want to find something to buy. Okay, we got a press release from this bar, Cerise, I think it's called. It's an outdoor bar, and they're going to actually be open through the winter outdoors, which I think is pretty cool. And that's the site of one of the pop-ups, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So this does sound kind of fun. Maybe you and I can traipse over there at some lunch hour. November 30th and December 1st in the Virgin Hotel Chicago, their rooftop bar, Cerise, which is a nice venue. It will feature locally sourced products, including home goods, apparel, jewelry, and vintage records, as well as music, specialty cocktails, and wine tastings.
There
and
you go.
And the decor will be a 70s-era ski lodge, and that's why it's called the Après-Ski Winter Market.
Okay, so let's do that one, Frank. Let's do this. Let's go buy a squishable. We'll share a squishable. And then we'll go to the rooftop and do some wine tasting. I think that sounds like a perfect holiday weekend.
I knew there was a reason. This is the only thing I'm doing on my day off, right, is talking to you. It's so much fun.
I appreciate that you took the time to talk about pop-up stores and other. Cranes also has a piece on the, we're not even going to talk about the Park District pensions because the news is just so bad there. Let's focus on the squishables and the candles and the drink on the rooftop. Listen, have a great Thanksgiving, and I appreciate your battery is still holding up from that tent outside the Best Buy, so I really appreciate you joining us today.
I'm here for the big screen.
Well, the 4G, right? You got to get the 4G.
Yeah, curves, and it's got to be curves.
We all are. Have a great Thanksgiving. Nice to talk to you, bud.
Bye.
Think one more time. Squishable, you can do it. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day.
Happy birthday to you. You.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
All right. That's enough.
Okay.
Yep. Someone's turning 10, and that someone is Groupon. But as many parents would tell you, those first 10 years are not the easiest. Back in 2008, when Groupon started off, they were at the top of their game, providing consumers with coupons and deals straight to their pocket. They even IPO'd back in 2011 at $26 a share. But we've all heard it before, eat or be eaten. And that's been somewhat the case here, as their stock price dropped over 50% since 2014. No doubt that these Grouponers were pioneers at the time, but they've got a lot of work to do to get back to where they once were. On the flip side of that coin, things over on the west side are going great. So great that a developer is building 400 homes, as there has been a huge addition of jobs to the area. The proposed development is going to be called Ogden Commons. Much of it thanks to the production studio over at CineSpace, since the TV shows like Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and others have made it their home. It takes a lot of people to make those shows, so why not make some of their commutes a bit easier? I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Speaking of your money, have you been spending it already? The big shopping season gets underway. In fact, I think some early numbers already show people were busy buying things online just last weekend. Michelle Dupree is on a phone line. She is the Group Vice President of Retail, Hospitality, and Distribution at Verizon Enterprise Solutions. Michelle, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Good afternoon, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay, so your title's a mouthful, but basically you guys are tracking, you're tracking what, the 25 biggest online retailers, just to sort of see where we are this season?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is our fifth year that we've launched the Holiday Retail Index by Verizon Enterprise Solutions, and that's exactly what it is, that we are looking at monitoring online traffic for the top 25 retailers in the U.S. and reporting out on what those trends look like. And again, to your point, this past weekend we saw tremendous growth with 4.2% growth on Saturday and almost 15% growth on Sunday. So the season is off to a really strong start.
And it's going to be a long season, too. I wonder if that will have an impact. I mean, I think Adobe Analytics or someone said that an extra day in the shopping season, I mean, a couple hundred million dollars in purchases.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an incredibly long season this year. And if you think about retailers and their launch of their sneak peek Black Friday deals started on November 1st. So they've really had a lot of momentum building up into this weekend and really the overall holiday season. So it's going to be busy and a lot of wallet share out there for our retailers to grab.
Well, you know, and you said you've been doing it for 5 years. I would imagine, you tell me if I'm wrong, that it's been getting stronger year after year after year, and this probably has all the makings for the strongest year since you've been watching.
Yeah, absolutely. We do see a continued pattern of growth year over year. And if looking at 2016 to 2017, this past weekend, we actually saw a decline last year. So,
oh, really?
You know, again, good. Yeah, great sign that you know, they're off to, you know, a strong start. And again, I do believe that this will be you know, just a really strong season overall. But the game will be for retailers to keep that momentum not just going into, you know, this weekend, including Black Friday, Cyber Monday, but really encouraging their customers to engage with their brand throughout the entire holiday season.
You know, we've been talking about that a lot, and one of the ways that retailers are getting their customers to engage with their brands, particularly the online retailers, are doing it the old-fashioned way. They're moving toward brick and mortar, if not stores, showrooms in a way, or we were just talking with Frank Sennett from Cranes about pop-up stores over this holiday. The online retailers are going old-fashioned in a way to let their buyers touch and squeeze.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we've always believed and still believe that, you know, we call it bricks and clicks will coexist. So, you know, that physical environment is still there for retailers to, whether it's showcasing, whether it's a pop-up store, or just even an opportunity for someone who does want to have that digital experience but wants to pick up their merchandise in the store, curbside, whatever that flexibility might be. You know, it's, again, it's using and leveraging that asset that they've had and they've invested in for plenty of years to have that be part of their ecosystem and delivering that great customer experience.
Are you seeing within the data now? It's only been 1 week, but I mean, are you seeing one particular area stronger than the others, or are you just looking at the gross number overall?
Yeah, we're looking at the gross number overall, so it's at a macro level, and it's anonymized data, so we don't see, you know, particular trends in what consumers may be purchasing. But again, it just the early indications show that you know, they're off to a really strong start.
I'm surprised they were down last year. Do you know what was behind that?
There was a couple factors, I think, if we look back, you know, like early weather, cold weather indications, I think, had some indications. If you remember last year, it was a really warm season throughout most of the United States, and that plays an effect on, you know, retailers that focus on cold weather outdoor gear. So I think that was one of the factors. And again, I think it was just consumers weren't ready for the holiday season to begin. So clearly this year, based on last weekend's statistics, they are, and we're heading into a really strong opportunity for retailers this weekend, including Black Friday.
Michelle?
Small Business is on Saturday, and then we head right into Cyber Monday.
You know, I love Black Friday, Michelle, because I like to go out and buy stuff for myself. So it's all about that for me. Michelle Dupree.
There you go. Whether you're buying for yourself or buying for a loved one, it's always a great adventure.
And I am a loved one. I'm a loved one myself, so I'm golden. Listen, let's check in again later because I know you guys will be watching throughout the holidays, and maybe we'll get the pulse closer to Christmas too.
Absolutely. We would love the opportunity.